tell you what we're going to do now. The guest we've been waiting to talk to. He stands by on our newsmaker line. His name is Paul Sean Fitzgerald. He is founder of the Research Center for Wireless Technology. He's an expert in the field of EMF radiation. He's a graduate of New Jersey Institute of Technology. He is a home radiation consultant, and he does education to the public on dangers of electromagnetic fields. Without further ado, a warm WHAT good evening to Paul Sean Fitzgerald.
Oh, thank you
Glad
for having
have you.
Me.
Thanks. Absolutely. Wow. When I look at this information that I first read about you and what you know on these daggone cell phones, it put a little tremor in my spirit. And I said, my goodness, because I am one of those cell phone owners. I like to think of myself as a very conservative cell phone user. I mean, I don't like driving my car and talking on the cell phone, for one. Number two, I really don't like talking on the cell phone in my house because I figure, hey, I'm paying for a landline. Let me use it. But at the same time, I feel like my cell phone is often my lifeline. Because I can take it with me wherever I go. And so if there's a really important connection I need to make with someone, I give them my cell phone number, because if I know I'm running out and I've got meetings to attend, or I'm going to go cover a press conference, or I've got to do something else, then I can have that phone with me. And it has become almost like an addiction. And I sometimes laugh, and I'll make comments about it to friends and family. What did we do before we had cell phones and computers and email and the internet? But at the same time, there have been a few news stories that I've seen over the last, say, 10 years or whatever, that have made me wonder and have some concern, are we damaging our health at all because of use of cell phones? And while I think I'm a conservative cell phone user, I know people who stay on the phone, cell phone, so much. I tease them as I say, we're going to have that cell phone surgically removed from your ear.
Yeah, that's an appropriate terminology, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one person to start off with, actually, that you say in the last 10 years, just recently in the last 2 years, Johnny Cochran would be a great person to use an example, because he started in the cell phone days of the what you would call the brick. When the cell phone first came out, it was 2 pounds. You could talk on it a half hour before you had to recharge it. It cost about $2,000 to buy. This is how I began the study of it, into the electromagnetic field. Is one of my friends who used that, one day he started to have the side of his head swell up, and we were all looking at him like, what's going on with you? And I said, how long have you been using that cell phone? And he had already been using the cell phone for a couple of years. This had been, they had actually switched over to digital by the time this had happened, and he actually came down with an acoustic neuroma, which is a benign tumor of the inner eardrum that can be surgically removed, and you'll be okay from it. You might go deaf from it, but going back to Johnny Cochran for one moment, he died recently of a tumor that was on the same side as a cell phone, and the same side he used his cell phone on, and his neurosurgeon at Cedars-Sinai in California directly attributed it to the use of his cell phone.
Well, that's been kept pretty quiet.
Actually, they had it on, it was quick, you know, it was on, I think NBC had it for a little bit, but how we are.
I missed it.
We're short term, once we go into a few of the studies that I've uncovered, you'll be surprised at all the things that have proven how dangerous cell phones really are.
Wow. What are the two things that the cell phone industry does not want the public to know? Please do tell.
Well, first of all, one of the things, if you ever walk into a very popular cell phone provider these days, the moment you sign a new contract, you sign away your right to sue them. Why would they do such a thing if cell phones were safe? Why would they be protecting themselves from future litigation? And one of the reasons is, I jump over to Leif Salford at Lund University in Sweden, who's been studying the blood-brain barrier for over 20 years now. He proved that only 2 minutes on a cell phone opens up the blood-brain barrier. And for those of you who don't know what the blood-brain barrier is, it's a protective membrane. And what it does is it keeps out free radicals toxins, dangerous proteins, and when that opens up, it leaves you susceptible to all sorts of problems. And these toxins will just flow right into your brain, and this is not good to have happening consistently day after day. So that's one of the things that they don't want you to know about how those look. And then there's a much more detailed study that in 1993, Larry King Live, he had a man named Dave Raynard on his show. And the reason Dave Raynard was on his show is because his wife had died of a tumor the same size and shape as a cell phone antenna. He actually sued the cell phone. He went after the cell phone industry and was suing them. And what happened from this is the cell phone industry said, we have to move fast. This is not good for publicity. There was only 15 million cell phone users in 1993. So they...
Million, huh?
That was it. But what happened between this study, a six-year, $28 million was put together by cell phone companies. They hired a man named Dr. George Carlo, a public health scientist. He did the research, and he did it under the best quality control studies. He had them double peer-reviewed, and everything was fine until around the fourth or fifth year when he started to see results come back that show double-strand DNA breakage, micronuclei formation, the blood-brain barrier breaches. These are all very, very strong signs of cancer, precursors to cancer, if not cancer-causing signs. What happened was when he finished, he actually wrote a book, too, with his findings. The cell phone industry said, thank you very much. You're out of money now, right? Well, and he said, yes. He said, well, we'll see you later. Due to the fact of what he showed, they wanted him to show cell phones weren't dangerous. He showed the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I have a listener on the line who wants to ask a question of you. Paul in Germantown. Good evening to you. Thanks for your call. You're on the air. Your question?
Yeah, hi, Gary.
Yes, we hear you well.
Okay, I'm trying to get off the speaker so I can hear you better. Okay, I'm aware of the study in Sweden, one of the studies done in Sweden, and I was shocked to hear, that with cell phones, you don't really have to have them next to your ear very long each day for the damage to be done. I heard anywhere from a couple of minutes to a half an hour a day and do the damage.
Yeah.
And that these Bluetooth things that you put in your ear, they create even another hazard with the radiation created of them communicating from your ear down to the cell phone. So I'm wondering what he thinks about the wired...
You stole my question.
You're in trouble.
I was going to ask that question, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture right now of a cell phone and then the wire connection hookup that, some people, it's the hands-free thing that a lot of people use in their cars or use anywhere.
The Bluetooth.
That's what you're referring to, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, that's going back to Dr. Lee Salford at the Lund University. And he showed that 1/200th of a watt was enough to open up the blood-brain barrier. When you're dealing with the Bluetooth, you're dealing with 1/10th of a watt of power, plenty of power to open up the blood-brain barrier. Plus, you're also dealing with, where's your cell phone right now? Where is it? Is it in my pocket? Is it in my purse? Is it next to my head? Am I scratching whatever with it? People, that's the cell tower, that cell phone at the same time. So that's putting out just as much power wherever that is at that time. So yes, to that question, you have to be very cautious with the Bluetooth. And then there's a wire headset, which I actually have a video on my website at danger911.com. The video shows in Australia, people are standing underneath high-tension power lines being filmed by a newscaster with fluorescent tubes that we use in office buildings, and they're lighting them up, holding them in their hands. No outlet, no nothing, except it shows how ambient energy is transferred through the air into electronic devices, and we're electromagnetic beings. So we can conduct very well, and we conduct better than rats. For those people out there that don't think rats are good for experiments, rats are great. They're made up of the same DNA, RNA as us, but the only difference is we make 5 to 6 foot antennas, and they make little tiny antennas. So we actually conduct better. But going back to the wire headset, that attracts ambient energy just the same as the high tension power lines conduct to the the light tubes, so you can attract
more.
So,
in other words, a cell phone is bad enough to use, but if you use a cell phone with those hands-free wire hookups, that's even worse.
Some are worse, some are actually better. It's all depending on. I haven't figured out which ones are worse and which are better, but none of them are better in the sense they're going to protect you. You're still going to be, some actually emit 3.5 times the amount of radiation in a cell phone, some emit less. So it's that you got to get into measuring it. You know, there's special meters. You can measure the amount of radiation they put out.
Okay, so now, Paul in Germantown, does that answer your question?
Answer is 3/4. Got one fourth left. Can I answer?
Go ahead.
All right, what about the people keep their cell phones hooked on their belt buckles right next to their kidneys, livers, and whatever else?
Well, that's a good question because, for one thing, even if they're not talking on them, what a lot of people don't realize is the cell phone, it checks into the base station, the cell tower, every minute or so at full power just to kind of connect, beam me up, Scotty, figure out what's going on back and forth. And so even if you're not talking on the cell phone, you're being exposed to EMF radiation. So then what happens from there is if they have them on the, do you mean on the belt buckle with a headset or on the belt buckle just all day long?
Just carrying it around all day long, then taking it off and then holding it. They have a stick or then holding it like it's on an arm's length away, but it's been on the belt buckle for hours. On the belt, not the buckle, but on the belt itself, you know, on the side of the hip and what have you. I'm wondering if the radiation wouldn't be just as bad to the internal organs.
I think that's an excellent question.
Radiation can penetrate. Dr. Om Gandhi at the University of Utah, in 1997, he showed radiation penetration within the skull of a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, and an adult. And what he showed was a 5-year-old had penetrated 75% more through their skull because they're thinner. So the reason I'm bringing that study up is because where you don't have bone, you're going to be penetrated even more if you just have tissue. And for a mother, pregnant mother, for example, if she has a baby growing inside her womb, she is that fetus. You need to keep that cell phone as far away from there as possible because you have no skeletal structure in between the baby, the phone, and your belly. So it's something to be real cautious about.
Thank you for your call, Paul. We appreciate you. Take care and keep listening to WHAT. Let's move on. East Falls. Greg stands by. Hey, Greg. Good evening to you. Thanks for your call.
Hey, how you doing, Chief Guest? This is a very interesting subject because it raises a whole lot of other kinds of questions about things that can get into your brain, and people are just not going to believe attributed to electromagnetic things, whether it be cell phones or whatever. But my question with regard to cell phones is, what is the powers to be, the so-called regulatory agency, saying about this study? And what is the Johnny Cochran, is Johnny Cochran's people being that it seems that it may have been attributed to that? Has there been any lawsuits filed with regard to that? How difficult would that be to connect it? And my last question is somewhat about what the last caller said, because he kind of touched on it. I was wondering, does that have, in addition to the brain concerns and the cancer concerns, does it come out and affecting you with skin lesions and that sort of thing? Did you study so that it produces other kinds of symptoms as a result of it besides just the brain? Does it attack? Well, the gentleman talked about the kidneys, but would that come out through skin lesions or other sort of health problems? If you can expand on that. And then what is your follow-up? What are you planning on doing with this information besides talking here? How can the public, or how will the public get some expanded, do you have a website we can follow up on? Because I think this is something that for me, I'm just not going to talk about just as one time because I have a son who uses their cell phone, you know, all day.
Mm-hmm. I know about that. There's one of those in my house, too.
And I'm going to go talk to him as soon as I get the answer from you. And let him know what I just, they really need to hear this.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to say that.
Well, first, for a child to recommend how to work with them, children learn through movies. I have a couple different movies on my website, and I was saying the web, danger911.com. And what you can find there is you can have them watch how radiation is conducted through power lines to the fluorescent tubes. And then there's other movies on there. There's a video section, because to force a child to do anything, they're not going to listen to you. And when they watch, right now in the world, and especially the U.S., as parents, we're some of the worst examples to our children the way we talk on our phones. We talk on them everywhere, in stores, in cars. We don't. We need to teach children by example and early so they understand, because that's going to be their only phone. And then they're also in the whole wireless era, and where Borders, Barnes & Noble, Starbucks, you name it, it's wired these days. We're in the wireless 2.4 gigahertz frequency, which is very unfamiliar to the human, to the animal. It's just unfamiliar to civilization. We've never... Electromagnetic fields are have been a billion times more increased in our atmosphere since the 1950s. It's grown so quickly. So I would instruct them that way, with videos and things of that nature, and show them the radiation penetration. Now, going up to, I started taking notes because you had a few questions in there. Skin lesions, melanomas are starting to get more widespread, caused by cell phone radiation. Any type of radiation is going to cause skin problems. From the sun, you get too much radiation from the sun, solar radiation, you're going to have a problem. When you have this concentrated radiation from a cell phone over time, there's different problems that are going to happen to different people. And they're showing different, it could be simple as itching that you feel. Some people actually get raised marks. And you got to realize this is over time. 10 years of talking on a cell phone, the electromagnetic field, they say it takes 20 years to form a cancer within the body. With cell phones, I think we're going to see that increase in shortness of duration of time, to where we start to see major results. Numbness, tingling in the fingers. I have people I know, immediately when they talk on the cell phone, they get headaches. They've done studies where they show blood sugar increases the moment you get on a cell phone. So these are different...
Even when it's a happy call?
And well, a happy call might help. You know, you've heard the studies where happiness has cured cancer. You know, I've actually heard different things like that, but, you know, that's a good way to look at it. But what's that, sir?
No, I was wondering, it's funny you mentioned melanoma, because I'm not saying it just as a contributor to it. I just had a nephew die last year with melanoma.
Well, there's...
Surrounding, as you said it, but I was wondering what the people who are responsible for regulating it, if there is any regulation, that would be the power to be, what are they saying about it, and if there's been any lawsuits?
Well, here's the thing about lawsuits. Recently, the Supreme Court said they're going to hear civil cases until, I think it was December 2005. There's currently 8 civil cases in the Supreme Court right now attributing cell phones linked to tumors. So we're about to see a major shift in the next 2 to 5 years, because the cell phone companies, from that study I mentioned earlier in the radio show about Dr. George Carlo, $28 million, see, what happened is the insurance companies got a hold of that book he wrote, and they said, well, look at this. This proves cell phones are dangerous. And what they did from there is they said, we're not going through another tobacco. Lloyd's of London, the large insurance companies, dropped all of the major cell phone providers in the United States. And right now they're all self-assured. Nokia, they have a huge multi-million dollar, I heard it's over $700 million, and that was a couple of years ago, waiting for lawsuits. So you're going to hear, see, the only regulatory agencies right now, because they take the funding away, these agencies, people don't want to fund studies on the dangers of cell phone radiation. We're trying to feed our families, let alone put money to, and there's no, the EPA was one of the last ones to lose their funding due to, they, what happened was, I can't remember the year accurately, but the EPA raided a clinic, and what they showed when they raided this clinic is all the mice died in the experiments. All the rats died. When they went through and looked at it, they showed that the radiation they died from was all, it was very similar to the 2.4, the, sorry, I got too many thoughts going through my head here.
Phone industry covered up a 6-year, $25 million study proving these devices are not safe for human use, and he shared a few other things as well. Now, if you just turned your radio on, you're listening in, well, glad you're with us now. If you want to call and ask a question of our guests, we invite you to do that. Dial us up at 267-285-1340 or join us toll-free. Come on, you can call from anywhere. 1-866-746-1340. Paul, we have another listener who wants to connect with us, Pierce in Germantown. You have a question. Good evening, Mr. Pierce.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm well.
Yes, hello, sir.
Good.
Oh. My question is this. Prior to 2000, I never used a cell phone. From 2000 to 2003, I used a cell phone 6 days a week, practically 8 hours. I was driving for a company, and we used cell phones. It was the Nextel thing. Question, in November 2003, I had a brain operation described as a bleed outside the brain. Could this have been caused by cell phone use?
Well, let me answer that in a few different ways. For one, what a large majority of people don't realize is in 1863, Michael Faraday, they call him the father of modern EMF principles, he showed that you could turn a cage into a radiation cage. Now, for example, electromagnetic fields, they can be controlled on the outside of a cage, a steel structure, or the inside of a steel structure. When you get into a vehicle and you talk on your cell phone, you bring that electromagnetic field, those electromagnetic fields, into the inside of your steel structure, and they get trapped there. And it magnifies the signal. It bounces all different ways. You expose the people in the back seat, front seat. What also happens is the vehicle works somewhat like a shield, making the cell phone work harder and the cell tower work harder. So, in other words, you're being more exposed once you go into a vehicle with a cell phone, no matter who you are. So then if you're talking on the cell phone for 8 hours a day, whether or not to say that that was the single cause of your problem, I can't say that. To say that that was something that added to the problem, I can pretty well assure you that it definitely had an effect on what happened, because that's the issue with most of what's happening in today's society, because it's not just about electromagnetic field. Of course, that's the topic we're talking about today, but there's many things from McDonald's. You know, our dietary habits have a lot to do with what's happening to us, and sitting, a sedentary lifestyle. But when you're dealing with electromagnetic fields, every brain is lined with something called magnetite. Bees have it in their bellies, birds have it in their beaks, fish have it in their gills. Guess where humans have it? They have it in the meninges of their brains, which means cell phones emit magnetic fields, and magnetite is 1,000 times more attractive than any other metal towards magnetic fields. So your cell phone, and there's been no studies done on this, but it's very well known that magnetic fields and magnetite, they're like husband and wife. They like each other a lot. So I would greatly reduce your cell phone use for future and create distance.
Well, I wasn't the only one that this affected in this company. This has happened to a couple of other people, and I was just wondering.
Did you have CB radios?
Yeah.
So CB radios, when you're receiving isn't as bad as when you're transmitting, but believe me, CB radios also, you're dealing with a high amount of magnetic fields with CB radios. You're not, and plus you guys are in a little box, right? You said, was it trucking?
Yeah, it was a van.
A van. So that's also, you're around another another piece of equipment that emits high fields. So you weren't just around one, you're around two.
My. Well, I thank you, Mr. Pierce, for your call, and great questions.
Okay, sir.
All right, you take care of yourself. Bye-bye. It's 6:36, and Paul, I wish I could keep you with me for about 3 or 4 hours, because you are something else, and you got a lot of information. Before you go, I guess it must have been about 3 weeks or so ago, and I was watching a news report on one of the network evening news shows, and they did a special about cell phones and landline phones in storms and thunderstorms and all of that, lightning and what have you. And they actually interviewed a couple of folk who were on the telephone in the middle of a storm and lightning struck, and like it burnt the whole side of their face, their ears,
wow,
like all half burnt off, looked like a pit bull got a hold of them or something.
Mm.
And as a part of your research and the studies that you have dealt with, did you do anything around the dangers of being on a cell phone or a landline phone in the midst of a terrible storm?
No, but I'm extremely glad you're alerting the public to that, and that's a great thing to know about. No, I would love to see that show too, because it makes sense though. You're becoming more of an antenna when you have your cell phone and electromagnetic fields.
Okay. Well, now, if people want to know more, if they'd like to look at those video clips that you have that sound like they are quite some teaching tools of information, all they got to do is go to your website, www.danger911.com, correct?
That's it. I like how you say it much better.
All right, Paul. Thank you so very much. And don't be surprised if we reach out to you again in the near future to chat some more.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much, and you be safe. But do you use a cell phone?
I do, but I use it, as you'll see on the site, one of the things I do is I use an air tube headset. It has a new technology which is explained on the website where the last 4 inches of the headset transmits sound waves instead of electrical waves.
All right, well, we'll go to the website and find out more. Thank you so much, Paul, and you be safe.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very